Z-Axis Life, seeking truth, setting the captives free, allowing the true self to live.
How controlees perpetrate evil. And I'll bet you, if you've been listening to any of my podcasts lately, this might be a surprise to you. Because I think the world of controlees, I really do. They are the believers. They're either believers now or they will be. Controlees are God's elect. I believe this with every part of me. God draws his elect to him. You talk to a controlee and they will invariably tell you of some sort of experience or encounter with something divine in their life at some point before now. Controlees are just the sweetest, the kindest people. They're flexible. They're not judgmental. They're accepting. They're forgiving. They are just the most wonderful people to be around, to talk to create with, to have as a coworker, to work on a project with. Controlees are capable of real love. Maybe not in all six facets and maybe not perfectly, but you can tell. You can tell when you're dealing with a controlee. One of my brothers is a controlee. He is just the sweetest man that I know. He gives and gives and gives to the point where his body is paying the price for it. He makes all the money for the family. He pays for everything. The kids' college, helps them live on near the campus. He cooks the dinners. He's traveled all over the world for his work. He just gives and gives and gives, and he's so forgiving and kind and generous. I did a tiny little bit of work for him one year. He gave me a bonus, something that was completely unnecessary. This is who controlees are. They are the most wonderful people. I've made a point of getting rid of every controller in my life. I thought for a while that controllers, they've got to be good for something, right? To help me create something, use their expertise to help take care of me physically. I've concluded right now, no. My conclusion is they're not worth it. The price is too high. The emotional suffering that I have to experience to get what I might need out of a controller in the physical world, it's not worth it. I'd rather God bring it to me another way. And so far he has. Despite my admiration, my appreciation, my respect for controlees, we are capable of perpetrating evil. And I'm going to tell you how. This is one of my very recent insights. For me, this insight had to come farther along the path. For other people, you'll probably get it much sooner. Our insights all come at their own pace, unique to the individual. I was listening to an HG Tudor video. He's a self-aware narcissist. And I was curious about borderline personality disorder. And he had a video that said borderline doesn't exist. I listened to it and I think he's right. He said borderlines are either a form of narcissist, which I completely agree with, or they are a person experiencing PTSD or under some sort of active abuse. This rang true for me. If those two things could be confused for the same thing, think about how much evil a narcissist can do to others. That is what looks the same as the evil that a person under active abuse can do to others? The answer is yes. And here's why. when we are under the active control and abuse of a controller, we perpetrate evil on those around us, mostly by what we do not do. We make that controller our priority. We are putting all our time and effort and energy into keeping our controller happy so that they don't abuse the crap out of us, so that they don't control us and punish us and threaten us and disconnect from us. But when we do that, we do not put that time and effort and energy into the people around us who are showing us real love. I'll give you some examples from my own life. When I was married to husband number one, we had a child together. I allowed him to make me powerless. He was very good at it. I did everything I could to please him. I had a schedule to clean the house, whether it was needed or not, just to keep him from complaining that the house wasn't clean. He had OCPD. I took over every bit of the childcare and child rearing. He did such a terrible job at it on purpose. I had to get her ready every day and take her to school and pick her up, feed her, did everything. Everything except spoil her, he did that. My life was about pleasing him and keeping him happy so that he would not abuse me, so he would not disconnect from me, so that he would not judge me, would not make me feel wrong or non-existent or obligated. But because I was powerless, I was not able to give my daughter love in the power zone. I was able to give it in the peace zone. I was able to show her compassion. I was able to feel emotions with her. I was able to give her empathy. I was able to reflect what she was feeling. But I was not able to give her respect and appreciation. I was not able to make her feel worthy or wise or discerning. She complained about this all the time. I couldn't understand it because I respected the heck out of her. I admired the heck out of her. I thought she was way more wise than I'd ever been, especially at that age. But it didn't matter what I said. What mattered was what I actually showed her. I couldn't show her those things. I didn't have power. I had allowed her father to make me powerless. To this day, she has contempt for me. And there's other reasons for that besides my error. Trust me, her father has a lot to do with that too. But that was my part in it. Just recently, I'm with husband number three. I have a really good friend. He's been friends with me years. We tell each other, you know what? We need to make a point of going to see each other occasionally and not just text and a phone call every 6 months. He said, I really have been dying to have you over here. I said, I'd love to come see it. I'd love to come see your new basement. He just finished renovating it. Let's do it between Christmas and New Year's. I mentioned it to my husband and I got a bit of a cold shoulder about it. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't want him to go see a single woman somewhere that he'd been friends with. I mean, that's not right, right? It's not like it would have been overnight, it just would have been for an hour or two, but still, it would have made me feel icky, probably, mostly because I didn't trust him. And I brushed off my friend. I was afraid. I was afraid that if I went to see him, that my husband would punish me. He would get jealous and he would disconnect from me and that it would be a big deal and I would suffer. And so I just didn't go. And then I felt ashamed that I didn't go. That so ashamed I didn't text him. I didn't tell him why. I just didn't say anything. Well, as a result, he blocked me and rightly so. I made him feel like crap. For the sake of my controller, A friend of mine, I loaned a car to her. She was desperate for a car, and her husband's very, very stingy with money. She drove it for several months. I didn't mind this at all. One night, at 9 o'clock at night, I get a phone call from her. The car has broken down. And she has left it on this particular exit ramp, and she has gotten a ride from her husband, and she's on her way home. Okay, I guess I'll leave at 9 o'clock at night and I'll arrange for a tow truck and I'll tow the car to the mechanics, even though you've been driving it for the last 3 months. In what world does that make sense? She's a wonderful person. And I know why she did it. Because her husband's a cheapskate and he didn't want to pay for a tow. I know that's why she did it. But it hurt. I felt used. Here I was, had nothing to do with it. 20 miles away. In the dark. Had to arrange the tow truck. Had to go meet him at the car. Had to go follow him to the mechanics. Had to pay for the car to be fixed. My mom. I grew up with a narcissistic father. I was the golden child. He triangulated her and me. I tried to be neutral, and I never knew. As a child, I didn't know who was right. They each talked to me like I was their counselor. I tried not to say what they had one had said about the other. I tried to be neutral, but the truth was, my dad was triangulating us. He was making her jealous of his relationship with me on purpose. And I didn't know that's what he was doing. I just felt special. Him and me, wink, wink. But look what it made her feel. Made her feel really, really, really crappy. I partly did that to her. Have you ever read the writings of the Columbine killers? One of them is just vitriolic. It's true hate. Hate and blame of the world for his suffering, unmitigated. But the other kid, he's just depressed. He feels lonely and isolated, but he doesn't hate anyone. I thought this isn't the level of evil that the first kid is. And yet, they both killed children. They both did it. Yeah, the second kid's heart was not full of malice like the first kid's was, but he did the same thing. He still perpetrated evil, terrible evil on others. You think you have a good heart? I don't doubt it, you have a good heart. But trust me, I've just discovered this about myself, and it's humbled me greatly. I was perpetrating evil onto others all the time. Because I could not see what was really going on. I could not see how my controller was monopolizing my time and energy, was threatening me if I didn't make him top priority. I didn't realize I was cooperating with his world of illusion and lies. And as a result, I was hurting the people around me who truly cared for me. I have a really good friend. We've been friends for a long time. I made a mistake. I called his wife out on her bad behavior. He should have called her on it before I did. It was a mistake because I alienated her. And by alienating her, I alienated him because his loyalty is to her. I lost my friend. I sent him an apology. I know what I did. I know what it resulted in. He has not replied. Yes, I made the mistake, but I have asked for forgiveness, and he has not forgiven me. And I know why. I know his wife has told him, I will not tolerate that woman around me. Despite her saying she's forgiven me, I apologize to her as well. She has not forgiven me. His loyalty is to her. Therefore, his behavior is that he has not forgiven me either. I think he has in his heart. But he can't piss her off. He can't be disloyal to her, or he will pay the price. But as a result, he is hurting me. He has rejected me as his friend, and I miss him greatly. So yeah, controllees can perpetrate evil just by believing the lies, the illusion of the controller they're with. Tudor says that when we get out from active abuse, we become ourselves again. We become capable of empathy and compassion and mercy and all the wonderful things that make us such wonderful people. And I think that's true. But those things don't come out full force until we see our controller and that relationship with our controller in truth. This has made me look at myself in a whole new way. It's not very comfortable. But at least I can see what's going on. I can correct my past mistakes. I can apologize to other people who mean a lot to me for what I did to them. And I can never, never allow a controller to make me abandon, reject, or in some way ignore people in my life who love me truly again. For more information like this, go to my website, zaccesslife.com. Check out my book, How to Get Over Your Narc in 95 Days, on Amazon. You can also watch these podcasts on YouTube. My channel is called Z-Axis Life.